We declare, state, and define that it is absolutely necessary for the salvation of all men that they submit to the Roman Pontiff. Words, my friends in Christ, from the Bull Unum Sanctam of Pope Boniface VIII, 1302. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The week before last, I had someone visit me. It was a young man who has a blog site on the internet. In this particular site, he writes of a number of topics of interest to traditional Catholics, and he was taking a little tour to visit different traditional Catholic installations throughout the United States. And he stopped in Winona, Minnesota, for the ordinations at the seminary there for the Society of St. Pius X. The ordinations this year were conferred by the Superior General of the Society of St. Pius X, Bishop Bernard Fillet. The assembled people were very interested to hear what Bishop Fillet had to say on one topic in particular. On the whole question of the negotiations between the Society of St. Pius X and Rome, as they call it. That is to say, with Benedict XVI, with the man that the Society of St. Pius X recognizes as the Pope. So the sermon went on, and finally, Bishop Fillet got to the issue, as people knew he would. He said, well, there will be no compromise. We have nothing to negotiate. There will be no deal with Rome. And there was an immediate sigh of relief, that passed through the assembled congregation. Today, I would like to talk about that particular sigh of relief. The Society of St. Pius X supposedly, or rather recognizes Benedict XVI as a successor of Peter. A true successor of Peter has universal jurisdiction over the whole church. And you have just heard us read from the Bull of Boniface VIII, on the need for subjection to the Roman Pontiff. It is necessary for the salvation of all men that they submit to the Roman Pontiff. So, we know what the Church's teaching is. The sigh of relief on the part of the laity in the Pius X congregation was a sigh of relief that they were not united to the man they recognize as the Roman Pontiff. And how very strange that is, especially to those of us who are old-timers, who remember the Church prior to the Vatican II disaster. The sign of being a Roman Catholic, the sign of being a member of the true church, was to be subject to the Roman Pontiff. The sigh of those people in Winona was a sign of something else. That in the 36 years of its existence, the Society of St. Pius X has utterly destroyed the notion of subjection to the Roman Pontiff and has substituted a false idea of its own, that you are free to resist the vicar of Jesus Christ on earth. Whatever he says in the way of his teaching, whatever he commands in the way of his laws, whatever precepts he gives you, each one of these, the individual Catholic is free to judge, to accept or reject as he sees fit. And substituted here for the true Catholic notion of subjection to the Roman pontiff is the idea of private judgment. The error of the Society of St. Pius X is a manifestation of actually three errors that we should talk about briefly today. First of all, the idea that the authority of the Catholic Church can somehow give us something that is evil. Now, as traditional Catholics, one of the things we all agree on is that the new Mass is, in fact, evil. It is sacrilegious. It is offensive to the divine majesty, and it destroys the Catholic faith. Yet, by continuing to insist that Paul VI and JP II and Benedict XVI were true successors of Jesus Christ, the Pius X Society implicitly teaches that the Church and her authority can give you evil. And that is false. That is wrong. In particular, the Church cannot give us an evil rite of the Mass. The Council of Trent explicitly condemned that idea. If anyone says that the ceremonies, vestments, and outward signs which the Catholic Church uses in the celebration of Masses are incentives to impiety rather than the service of piety, let him be anathema. What is the new Mass but an incentive to impiety and to sacrilege? How can the Pius X Society pretend then that the men who gave us the new Mass and who continue to maintain it throughout the world represent the authority of Jesus Christ, represent the authority of the Catholic Church, in other words, our true popes? The second error of the Pius X Society is this, that the Pope and the bishops throughout the world can teach error, that a true Pope and those in union with him can spread error throughout the world. And then the individual Catholic is free to judge, as each teaching comes down the line, which teaching is error and which is truth. However, this particular notion contradicts the solemn definition of Vatican I on the infallibility of the Church in her universal ordinary magisterium. In other words, when the Pope and bishops throughout the world teach something, it is protected from error by the promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fact that there is a contradiction between Vatican II and prior Church teaching is a sign for those who believe in the teaching of Vatican I that these new teachings do not come from the authority of the Catholic Church, do not come from true popes, do not come from true bishops. Yet the Pius X Society maintains that the Pope and the bishops can, in the practical order, teach errors, and that it is the duty of the individual Catholic to sift through what comes down the line and to pick out what is true from what is false. The notion of pope sifting. The third idea and the third error of the Pius X Society, finally, is this, that you can resist, that having made these judgments, you can resist and not be subject to the Roman pontiff, to a true pope. And it is this idea that they have spread for 36 years throughout the world and corrupted the minds and the beliefs of countless members of the Catholic laity and of two or three generations of priests that they have formed. The true Catholic does not resist the true Roman pontiff. Yet the society has built up this great theological fantasy that theologians would support such an astounding idea. But the problem in our own age, it seems, is that no one does any theological research anymore. So you see the same quotes quoted year after year. There's a whole raft of them that originally appeared in a book that was printed in Brazil and then reprinted in France. A whole series of quotes that supposedly justify the idea of resistance to the Roman pontiff. And these quotes are repeated over and over now and spread throughout the internet. When you go and research them, though, when you go and look at the originals, you find that the authors are talking about something completely different. Something completely different. That far from countenancing the idea of the resistance to the Roman pontiff, they merely tell you that if someone gives you an evil command, you're supposed to resist that, and you're not supposed to follow an evil command. But when it comes to the public authority of the Roman pontiff, if you read further in one of these passages, you see one of the theologians saying, it would not seem permitted for any private person on his own authority to resist and not obey the pope's directives. This would be a great act of irreverence and near contempt for supreme authority. If anyone were allowed to act towards a pope in a way that would not even be permitted towards a bishop, whose directive, however unjust, one may not disobey on private authority. So this whole false idea based on bad theology, bad research, has been spread by the society throughout the world for decades, that you can resist the Roman pontiff. The reason why we are sedevacantists, the reason why we believe the post-Vatican II popes are not true popes, is that this is the only solution that is consistent with Catholic doctrine, that it reconciles the notion of the infallibility of the Church in her teachings and her laws with the terrible destruction that we see after Vatican II. That far from saying the authority of the Church can give us evil, we say that the existence of the sacrilege, that is, the new Mass, that is a sign this did not come from the authority of the Church, and that those who promulgated it and who maintain it are not true popes. They do not enjoy the authority that Jesus Christ gave to His Church. And when we see the errors that have been spread by these men throughout the world, the errors and the contradictions of defined Catholic doctrine, we do not say that these are errors and teachings through which we must sift on our own, but rather we say these things are a sign that the men who promulgated them and who promote them and who continue to teach them have lost the authority from Jesus Christ. And as far as the notion of resistance, we do not say that resisting these men is a question of resisting the Pope and resisting the authority of the Church. But rather we say we resist them and we are not subject to them because they do not represent the authority of Jesus Christ on earth, that they are false popes, that they are false bishops. The Pius X Society is in the process of electing now its new superior general. There'll be a lot of buzz about this on the internet, a lot of stories. There'll be an awful lot in the blogs and in different supposedly traditionalist newspapers. When you hear all of this, I want you to think of one thing. Think of that sigh. Think of that sigh and what it represents. The 36 years of error it represents. Boniface VIII taught, "We declare, state, and define that it is absolutely necessary for the salvation of all men to submit to the Roman pontiff." Pray that Catholics who spread error about this particular teaching may come to acknowledge the error of their ways and may come to accept the true teaching of the Church on submission to the Roman pontiff. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.